Time to talk Browns football this morning with Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram and BrownZone.com. It's brought to you by Jamelis Wilson Maryland Fritz Company, attorneys at law, and also Royal Business Equipment. Browns come back off their road trip, disappointing trip out west, taking on the Broncos, losing there, and then the Rams on Sunday in a game that kind of just got away, but the debut of Joe Flacco at quarterback. Scott, let's, I guess, start with sort of the positives. What did you see from Joe Flacco that maybe impressed you, or you kind of expected maybe from a 38-year-old veteran quarterback?
Yeah, I certainly was impressed, and I think that's by far the biggest positive from that game Sunday. You know, the Browns have been looking for stability at quarterback all season long, right? They got it for a little while with Deshaun Watson, but then that went away with the injuries. And I don't think Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the rookie, was ready to take this team to the playoffs. I mean, maybe he could have won enough games, but I had doubts about that. And I think if Flacco plays like he did against the Rams, I think the Browns have a chance, have their best chance to win whatever it is, three more games to get to the playoffs. So I think they're going to stick with him, and I think that's the right decision, and I think it gives them the best shot to not let this season slip away by missing the playoffs.
Watching Joe Flacco, it was one of those things where we had always wished for a tall, strong-armed quarterback. Remember, that's kind of, and to see him back there, it was quite impressive, obviously, his veteran experience. I was impressed with how much, and maybe this is just me, how much he threw the ball away. In other words, he wasn't trying to make some plays early on. He thought, okay, I only know so much, or I'm only going to do it. If it's not there, I have the confidence to throw it away and live for another play.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of quarterback I like, right? The big, tall ones that stand in the pocket. Now, you know, today's NFL, it helps to have that mobility as well. And, you know, Flacco's probably, and so is Matthew Stafford, the guy for the Rams, is probably the kind of the last of a dying breed, because we see more and more guys with the dual threat ability, at least the escape ability. I like that in a quarterback. And then you're right about the throwing away, but then you can't say that and then not talk about the interception he had, right, which is when he should have thrown it away. Right? He had another chance. You know, in the fourth quarter, they were down eight, get the ball back. It's a first play of the drive. And, you know, he had the short guys were covered. The guys on the underneath routes were covered. And instead of taking his medicine and throwing it away like he'd done so well, he tried to force it down the field. And he underthrew it a little bit, and the safety, it was late, so the safety is coming over that way, and it winds up being kind of the fatal mistake there. So I did think overall he played really well. I agree with you. He made a bunch of good decisions, including throw it away, but the last one got to him.
Yeah. Well, losing Amari Cooper kind of changed a little bit. Elijah Moore, though, I guess a familiar face to him from a previous, you know, with the Jets, maybe helped out a little bit. How come we didn't see much of, and like, I thought David Njoku, not so much in the first half. He wasn't, it didn't even seem like he was part of the plays until a little bit later in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he was in the game, I think probably the same amount as he normally is, but wasn't targeted the same way. And that's a good question. I don't have a great answer to that. I'm guessing that's just how the game went. Maybe the Rams were paying extra attention to him. I also think with a tight end, you also have to remember that they're asked to do some blocking and pass protection, and sometimes that takes away from, you know, their opportunities to catch the ball. But I certainly think, especially with Amari Cooper with the concussion, right, and who knows if he'll miss any more time, but it's hard to come back from a concussion in a week. I think with, let's say, Cooper has to miss some time, I think David Njoku's got to be, if not number one, the number two target, right? It's got to be him and Elijah Moore, because I think they're your best options in the passing game. So I would expect to see Njoku get more and more catches, or more and more targets, at least, as the season goes along.
Right. There was some talk about Tillman, though, sort of moving up a little bit or becoming a little bit more of a threat, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he opened the season, he was inactive, right? When they had their full complement and they had, Donovan Peoples-Jones before they traded him, you know, Tillman was a healthy scratch a bunch. And now, after the DPJ trade, and then you have, you know, Amari Cooper injury, he really moves up to about number two on that receiver depth chart behind Elijah Moore. So, and Elijah Moore doesn't have the size that Tillman does. So, yeah, I think, you know, Tillman came on a little bit in that Denver game. They're going to need him, right? And I think we've talked about the receiving core before, and, you know, they have enough pieces, and they kind of think they can figure it out and have an egg it, and they don't need, you know, a bunch of, you know, kind of stars there. Well, their depth is getting tested, and they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to come through to help Joe Flacco as he tries to manufacture some offense. But I will say, I think it's a positive sign that Flacco completed the passes to nine guys. So he's not afraid to spread it around. I don't think he's afraid to kind of take what's there, you know, take the options there as opposed to trying to force it to, you know, Amari Cooper 25 times.
Talking to Scott Patrick this morning from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com, about the Browns' loss 36-19 to the Rams. I mean, there was a point we almost tied it up, missed the extra point on there. But let's talk about the defense. Jim Schwartz had been familiar with the with Matthew Stafford, obviously, though, but I don't know. He wasn't able to do much on the defensive end. What do you see is happening, maybe particular to that game, or maybe a trend that you might see developing a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly been proved that they're not as good on the road. The defensive numbers, you know, I kind of dismissed them early in the year, but the numbers are giving up way too many yards and points when they're on the road. There's reasons for that, you know, the crowd noise, offenses can kind of vary their snap counts and try to keep you off balance. That's part of it, but that's no real good excuse. They're dealing with some injuries. Denzel Ward, they missed their number one corner. It's two straight weeks, and they've missed him both weeks. I think that's been obvious. Myles Garrett said that, you know, he injured that shoulder against the Broncos, said it didn't affect him too much against the Rams, but he didn't make any plays. You know, he's close a couple times, but didn't finish him, and that's discouraging for the Browns. I don't think that'll continue as long as he's healthy enough. You know, he's just too good. So I think all those things play a factor. You're going against good quarterbacks and good play callers. They're going to make some plays against you, so that's part of it. But the defense needs to be better, right? I think we've come to the point where with all the quarterback issues the Browns have had, the defense has to carry them. And when it does and when it plays really well, then the Browns have a good chance to win games. When it struggles, you know, I mean, giving up 20 points midway through the fourth quarter is not the end of the world. But then given two short fields, they give up two more touchdowns, right? Like, they give up a couple big plays. And that's been a trend all season long, really, where they give too many big plays. So they're going to have to figure some stuff out. They're going to have to get better pressure on the quarterback than they have the last couple of weeks because this team needs this defense to be, if not dominant, pretty close to dominant.
Next up, the Jaguars. We're recording this prior to their Monday night game against the Bengals, but I guess a short week for them. What other advantages do we have against the Jaguars, or what do we have to look out for?
Yeah, they're a good team. I haven't seen a ton of them. I mean, they got a real good record. They still think they're talking about getting the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. You know that they're winning a bunch of games. Trevor Lawrence, former number one pick in the draft at quarterback, he's a good player. He's got some athletic ability. Big, tall guy, stands in the pocket like we talked about, but he's also got some movement skills. Super Bowl-winning coach in Doug Peterson. So that's going to be a tough one. And it'll be home, which is good for the Browns. You know, they played really well at home, but by no means is a slam dunk. They're going to be an underdog. And they got to figure out a way to stop this slide, right? It's two in a row. It's the first time they've lost two in a row. And even if they lost to the Jaguars, it doesn't mean, you know, they can't get to the playoffs. The schedule gets easier. You know, the easiest three games are after Jacksonville. Having said that, when you're losing multiple games in a row and that happens late in the season, it gets harder and harder to correct things and to regain that momentum. So the Browns are going to have to play better, and, you know, I expect it to be Joe Flacco, and he's going to have to build off that, what he did against the Rams, for the Browns to get where they want to go.